I am truly thankful for this country, and 250 years is a big milestone, so I think it was appropriate that we celebrated and enjoyed it. I do not feel guilty because I'm an American. I do feel guilty because I'm human. Man, we got a lot of things to feel guilty about, but I am pleased and proud and thankful that God gave us this country, and I think we ought to celebrate it. I think it ought to be a blessing. Look at John chapter 8. I'm going to be reading a couple of verses in John chapter 8, focusing on one statement that Jesus makes. You know, when you read the Bible, certain statements stand out. It's like, this is a special book. And maybe it's just the King James Version, but I think it is really poetic, and it sticks in your memory. It's an amazing book. If you haven't actually just taken your time to read it, you really ought to. Just take your time and read it. Make it a daily habit of reading the Bible. Just read it every day. Go from the beginning to the end, or skip around however you want, but mark where you've been. Make sure you get it all read. That's why God gave us the Bible. And the more you know it, the better off you are, the better you can follow God's will. You'll know God's will. You'll know when somebody's a shyster and trying to deceive you if you read your Bible. If you don't read your Bible, you are vulnerable to people who want to take advantage of you or just want to tell you what's on their mind. And man, I tell you, read your Bible. Look at John chapter 8. I'm going to start reading in verse, 48. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me. And I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. I just want to look at that contrast there in verse 49. He says, I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me. There is a contrast there. He says, I'm honoring my Father, and you're dishonoring me. Consider that contrast. First of all, it looks almost like Jesus is surprised. I don't understand. I'm honoring my Father, and you're dishonoring me. And just to let you know, if you try to serve God at all, you might be surprised that some people do not agree with you and are not on your side and will dishonor you. The Bible talks about those heroes of the faith, and one of the things it says about them is that they endured cruel mockings. People don't honor Christians. They don't honor Christ. They don't honor God. They don't honor the Bible. There's a lot of people who just will not honor you if you try to serve God. Or if you're on God's side in any argument, they will not honor you. And that might surprise you. But it really shouldn't, because we are a fallen race, and people are against God for whatever reason. It's an amazing thing. But Jesus says it to them thinking, you know, I am doing the right thing and you are doing the wrong thing. And that doesn't make sense. That is just inconsistent. We ought to both be on the same page. I'm honoring my Father. Why aren't you honoring your Father? Why aren't you honoring me when I'm honoring my Father? Now that's just personal, just let you know, the book of John is amazing. It's an amazing thing. The reason why we get to this point in the book of John sort of makes sense of the synoptics. The synoptics gathered together all of the stories that had been circulating about Jesus and got it confirmed by people who knew, and they put it together in chronological order, they're great. The synoptics are great, but the Gospel of John goes in there and just fills in some details and puts it in order. And if you will treat all of the Gospels as an attempt to do a chronological life of Christ or an itinerary of Christ, you'll find how it can fit, and it enlightens you. It wakes you up. Something happened in John chapter 5 where Jesus healed a crippled man, but he did it on a Saturday. And that really bothered the Jews. It bothered those Pharisaical Jews, or I don't know if anybody else was upset about it, but I know the Pharisees were upset about Jesus healing a crippled man on a Sabbath day. And it doesn't really make sense. If you stop and think about it, this man had been sitting there waiting to be healed for 38 years. He was looking for healing. He was crippled, and he had a petate. He had a little roll-up bed that he took with him, and he'd lay it out there and just wait for the moving of the water. But because he's crippled, he couldn't get into the water fast enough, and all the blind people got there first. So it's interesting. He went all those years, but when he gets healed, he picks up, he rolls up his bed, and he picks it up and starts going home. Happy he got healed. And they said, you got to wait till tomorrow. You got to wait till tomorrow to go home with your bed. You can't be, isn't that stupid? That was a stupid thing to say. You can't walk, you can't carry your bed on the Sabbath day. What a dumb thing to say. What a dumb thing to say. And Jesus thought it was dumb too. And he says, man, I did one work and you're mad at me because I healed a man on the Sabbath day. Don't you realize how many times you guys profane the Sabbath in the temple? You're working and you can't tell me I can't heal a man on a Sabbath day? Why are you upset at me? It did not make sense to Christ, and it doesn't really make sense to us. But somehow the human heart has such an evil in it that they saw evil where they should not have seen evil. They had evil surmisings. They didn't give them the benefit of the doubt. I don't understand why people get that way, but it does happen. And that's what happened here in John chapter 8. There's this evil surmising. They dislike Jesus because he healed on the Sabbath day, and they have a hard time finding any other reason to dislike him. And then they come up and he says, look, they said, you have a devil. You're a Samaritan. Now that's just a put down. That's just a put down. You know, we all have our little put downs. Back in those days, they really thought Samaritans were the lowest of the low. And so if they didn't like you, they'd call you a Samaritan. And you know, nowadays it just doesn't mean anything to us. So call me a Samaritan. Okay. It's like I went to Mexico and they'd call us gringos. Gringos. And it doesn't mean anything to me. It doesn't bother me at all. It doesn't hurt my feelings at all. They call me gringos. Who cares? Now they call me bolillo. Now bolillo is a piece of white bread with a little brown crust on it. They call me a bolillo. But you know, really, who cares? What can I say? They called Olga mosca en leche, so. Only brown girl in a white school, the mosca en leche. Come on, you guys know that. You're a fly in milk. Anyway. They insulted Jesus. They called him a Samaritan. And then they say, you have a devil. That's a way of saying you're crazy. You've lost your mind. You're out of your mind. You got a devil. Somebody else is, you know, making you think strange. And, of course, I don't think you need a devil to think strange. People have a lot of strange ideas, but that was what they were doing. They were insulting him, saying, you have a devil and you're a Samaritan. And he's saying, you know, that just doesn't make sense. I'm honoring my father. Who am I insulting? Who am I despising? Who am I disrespecting? I am honoring my father and you're just dishonoring me. That's all you're doing. You're not really hurting me. You haven't attacked me. You haven't killed me. You made all kinds of threats, but you haven't done anything. All you can do is dishonor me. You dishonor me while I honor my father. All right, let's get to 4 points so I don't ramble too much during this message. 4 points I'm going to bring out. Number one, his priority. He honored his father. Number two, his dignity. He was worthy of being honored. Even in that situation, he was worthy of being honored. And number three, his indignity. He was offended. He noticed what they were doing. He remembered it. He took account of their dishonoring him. And number four, his civility. He did not react like you would react if somebody dishonored you. So let's go into some order here. First of all, his priority. He says, I honor my father. Debbie one time in our family altar brought out a point. And it was really an amazing point. And so she wound up sharing it in an open meeting one of these times. And it was about Jesus when he was 12 years old. They have this little story in the book of Luke. He was 12 years old. They were up at Jerusalem with a whole company of people that had walked there. And somehow he got separated from them when they were headed home and got lost. He was a 12-year-old and he got, sort of got lost from them. They didn't know where he was and they didn't notice. They thought he was with other family members and they didn't notice for 3 days. They didn't know where he was. And then they had to go back to Jerusalem to try to find him. And when they did finally find him, he was at the temple talking to all the rabbis there. And he had had a pretty good set of discussions with the rabbis. And mom got upset at him and said, "How is it possible? How didn't you know? Where have you been? Didn't you?" Starts getting on him. You know how you would too, mom. You know how it is. It bothers you. It scares you. You lost your kid. You don't know where he is. And oh my goodness. And Jesus responds with, "Well, how is it that you didn't know where I would be? How is that a mystery? What did you think I was going to be at the arcade? What did you think I was going to do? Go down to the racetrack or what were you expecting? I was going to be at the temple talking with people about God. I was going to be about my Father's business. It was not a mystery. You didn't have to walk 3 days looking for me. You could have just come straight to where you knew I'd be." Isn't that something? Because something about Jesus' focus was he was honoring his Father. He was focused on pleasing God. I wonder, are you focused on pleasing God? You know, I wonder if politicians would focus more on pleasing God than pleasing people. You know what would happen? They'd be voted out. If you focus on pleasing God rather than people, they will vote you out. That's one big problem with democracy. Oh, I know some of you people think democracy, that's next to godliness. But I got news for you. There's a real problem with democracy. The number first problem is go talk to people that vote. Man, you'll know what's wrong with democracy the moment you talk to people who vote. These people, they're out of their minds and yet they still vote and they got the same vote as you. Man, politicians would not make it if they tried to please God. That's why Jesus wasn't a politician. And you probably can't be either if you're intent on pleasing God. Maybe in a very local election, you can try to please God and still be a successful politician. You could run for dog catcher or something like that. But you try to get any farther than that, you will not make it far if you try to please God. What about preachers? How successful would you be as a preacher if your focus, your priority was to please God? You know what I've noticed? You wouldn't be terribly successful as a preacher. Successful in the way we think of success. You know, lots of people, famous, and lots of respect. You don't get that if you try to please God. You know why? Too many people get offended. Too many people get irritated. That's why there is a whole movement in the United States. And by the way, it's gone viral. It's all over the world now. It's in Africa. It's in Asia. This is a movement. It's called the Community Church Movement. And it's where you stay away from controversial subjects. Just avoid controversial subjects. And if you avoid controversial subjects, you guys can get along with a lot of people and people will come to your church. They'll flock to it. They will fill it up and they will fill the coffers. They will tithe to it. They'll become faithful. Why? Because they're not being offended. But I wonder if God might be offended. Amen. I wonder if God's saying, "Well, who's going to say what I said? Who's going to repeat my words? Who's going to point out what I pointed out? Who's going to warn them of what I warned them of?" You know who spoke more about hell in the Bible than anybody else? Jesus. He talked about hell all the time. He said, "Watch out for that place. You don't want to go there." He said, "You'd be better off crippled all your life and get to heaven than be completely whole all your life and wind up in hell. You'd be way better off if you just suffer in this life and make it to heaven. That would be way better." Jesus talked about hell a lot. But you know what you find out? If you talk about hell too much, your congregation sort of thins. People don't like to hear that. I remember I saw an interview of Joel Osteen one time on one of the big shows. I forget which one it was, but some famous person was interviewing him, says, what about sin? Why don't you talk about sin? He says, oh, people have enough negative in their lives. There's enough negative. We don't need to be talking about that. But Jesus talked about it. You know, I wonder if you get your priorities wrong, you start thinking, I'm here to please people. And you stop pleasing God. Boy, I'm telling you, you've made a choice. You've made a decision there. And you know, Jesus didn't go with that opinion. He said, I honor my Father. That ought to be your first step in life. I'm going to honor God. God first. You know what Jesus said? He says, if you love your mama and your daddy more than me, you're not worthy of me. Mom or dad? But aren't we supposed to love mom and dad? Aren't we supposed to honor mom and dad? Sure we are, but not more than God. Not more than God. Pay attention, folks. Jesus here had the priority right. He said, I've spent my life honoring my Father. And you know how you fail? You don't. You don't spend your life honoring God, your Father. Your life is lived in self-service. And look, self-love is not wrong. It's necessary. It's the foundation of you surviving in life. You've got to teach your kids to treat themselves right and to love themselves. But they need to love their neighbors also as themselves. But one way or the other, I can see how you have to have some self-interest. But you better wake up and realize that we have something bigger in this life than our own self-interest, and that is honoring the God who made us. In fact, there's no other greater motive in life than that. Honoring God. And Jesus never lost that priority. He said, I honor my Father. Amen. Preachers would do well if they would stop trying to please people and start thinking, how can I honor God today? Amen. They wouldn't be as successful in worldly criteria, but you know, they might be a whole lot more successful in godly criteria. God might start talking to Satan about him. Say, hey, have you noticed my servant Job? Ooh, man. How about in your work? How about in your work if you would prioritize honoring God? It says, do all things as unto the Lord. If you worked as if you were working for God, your work would become your ministry. Your work would become your calling. Isn't that something? Oh, man. How about in your household? How about if in your house you said, the first thing we're going to do in this house is honor God. We're just going to honor God. We're going to make God the focus of our honor. We're not going to mock him. We're not going to dismiss him. We're not going to disregard him. We're going to pay attention to him, and we're going to make him number one in our household. What if, husbands, you honored God more than you honored your wife?
Amen.
I got one amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I know that is not popular in America. Women do not like to be told that. No, sir. Husbands, you owe God your honor before you owe your wife honor.
Amen.
That's true. That is true. You know something? You know how many people, how many husbands make a bad decision because of their wife? Boy, that is not plowing well. That's not going over well. But I'm telling you, it's true. Husbands, you got a job to do. And one of it is to honor God. And what would happen to you if you said, sweetheart, I love you and I want to take care of you, but I'm going to honor God first. And what you're wanting me to do, I don't believe honors God. I've seen this happen so many times. Oh, man. We had a guy. We were in Aguascalientes. We won a guy to the Lord, and he was excited about it. Boy, he got saved. This man got saved. And he had a couple little kids, and he'd come to our church, and he'd come to Convivios. He finally got his wife to come. His wife did not like our church. Boy, she did not like our church. And finally, she just put her foot down and said, I'm not going back. And so he stopped coming. We went to him and talked to him and said, what's going on? He says, I've just got to honor my wife. I got to take care of my marriage. Boy, was that a mistake. Now, I don't know what happened to him in the future. He did. He quit our church. But I think he really got saved. And I don't know where he is right now, but I can tell you right now, that was a mistake. You honor God first. You put God first because God deserves to be first. He says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. You can't even love your mom and dad as much as you love God if you're going to do the right thing. Put your priority correct. Jesus said, I honor my Father. Do you honor God the Father in your life? Number two, his dignity. Jesus and God is worthy of honor. Even in this situation, they had gotten upset at him because he healed somebody on the Sabbath day. Give me a break. That is not even clear in the Old Testament, and you're making it a big point, and you're going to disagree with Jesus Christ. And by the way, he healed a crippled man. Amen. Does that not mean anything? Are you telling me because he did something on the Sabbath day, you're going to be upset at him, but then you find out, what did he do? He healed a crippled man. Oh, really? Yeah, he was crippled for 38 years. Yeah, he couldn't walk. Yeah, he did that, but he did it on a Saturday. And I think you would say, who cares if he did it on a Saturday? If he can heal that man, I want to talk to him. I want to know him. I want to honor him. They should have paraded him around. Can you imagine Jesus Christ over there in the land of the Gadarenes? He heals a man that they could not tame. They would chain him and he would break the chains. And he was in the tombs crying and hollering and they were embarrassed and they had all kinds of problems. But Jesus comes and he cast out the devils and now he's sitting in his right mind. And you know what they say? Get lost. We don't need your kind around here. You know something? People are really not that bright. And you're praising democracy? Really? I can't wait for our king. I'm not looking for democracy. I don't want to spread democracy to the world. But righteousness would be a whole different thing. And Jesus Christ reigning in righteousness, whoa, that would be something else. He healed a cripple. You know, another thing was he had a tremendous following. There was a lot of people following Jesus. Wouldn't that be worthy of a little honor? You know, I noticed that some people, they really hate Trump. And they cannot give him even the slightest honor, the slightest respect at all. They hate him with such a passion. I don't understand how some people love him so much, and I don't understand how people hate him so much. Those two things, to me, it's somewhere in between there. You guys get off the extremes because he's just not that interesting. He's not that special. He's not the greatest evil that ever was, and he certainly is not the Messiah. Let it go. He's somewhere in between. But some people hate him so much they can't respect him at all, even though he's got half the people in this nation voting for him. If you got half the people in the nation voting for you, you ought to have some respect. You ought to be able to get some respect from people. I'm telling you. And that goes for Obama or anybody else. Anybody that you don't like in the politic world, if you find out that half the people in the nation are voting for him, hey, you owe him a little bit of respect. Something. You ought to respect him. And by the way, if he's a human being, you owe him some respect. The Bible says so. They were made in the image of God. You cannot treat them wrong just because they're made in the image of God. How about that for a reason to respect your neighbor? Amen. Amen. Now, I know people do things that take away that respect. I get that. I understand that. I'm not criticizing that. I'm just saying some respect makes sense. It makes sense that they would honor him, but they were treating him terribly and calling him a Samaritan of all things. They called him a Samaritan. How dare them? Amazing. Man. And you know something? This fella had extraordinary teaching. This man was wise. He could take an entire angry crowd and just turn them with a simple little story. And they would be dumbfounded. Their jaw would drop open and they would not. He had some people right here in this chapter or the chapter before. He had some people that were trying to catch him in something, and they brought him a woman taken in adultery, and he just made one statement, and they all stood there silent until their own consciences talked to them, and they left one by one. I'm telling you, somebody ought to respect that fella. Somebody ought to have a little honor. Shh, man, you ought to pay attention. This fella's something special. Maybe you think he might be wrong in something, but show a little respect. He had extraordinary teaching. The man was amazing in his teaching. Anybody who can sit on a hillside and teach 20,000 people anything, this guy ought to have some respect. Now that guru that chews on a straw on the side of the hill, maybe not. But this fella could teach. He knew the Bible. He was something else. So there you go. Alright. How about God deserving a little bit of respect? How about the Bible deserving a little bit of respect? Isn't it amazing how people don't respect things that have blessed them in tremendous ways, like the Bible? The Bible has blessed this nation so much, and yet people cannot respect it. And people, it's amazing to me how people diminish it. Even pastors behind the pulpit diminish the Bible. They tell you, well, that might not be translated right. A better translation is this, or a better thing like that. Or we found out that verse is not in the original. Oh, shut up and just believe the Bible. Trust it. God didn't give it to you by accident. He brought it to you, and it's blessed you all these millennia. It's blessed you. The Bible ought to get some respect from you.
Amen.
Somebody say, well, the Bible says, and they say, I don't want to hear it. Oh, that is not smart. There's some dignity here. What about creation? Does that not make you wonder about our God? Don't you get tired of the people who dishonor God by every time they see something amazing in creation, they try to retrofit it back and figure out how it could have happened all by itself? That doesn't even make sense. When you see something amazing in creation, you ought to be just lifted up in honor of God. Wow, God is amazing.
Amen.
God is amazing. We were watching all these boats yesterday, all these huge sailboats. I don't know why they still have sailboats. Don't make sense. But they have all these sailboats, big, big sailboats, and they're having this big thing in New York Harbor. It was a big celebration for the 4th of July. They called it Sail Forth. Man, they're smart. But they got that going, and we were watching that, and I'm looking at that harbor. I'm just looking at that harbor and that amazing coastline, and then the skyline, and then the ocean, and then all the, it's just amazing, all of the things that were going around there, and I'm thinking, this is amazing. God put that harbor there, and it caused that place to become important in the whole world because of this harbor. They say that was created by glaciers. This is amazing. I was amazed, and I honor God because of it. It's something to honor God for. Creation is something to honor God about. My goodness, they talk about these Artemis people. They went around the moon. I don't know why that was special, but it was special to them. They were talking about, they went around the moon, and they're going to get ready to set up a thing on the moon. Have you ever looked at the moon and thought, God, that's amazing. There aren't any other planets with a moon like that. The moon is like 1/6 of our size, the size of the earth. Where in the world, where can you find it like that? You don't find it anywhere else like that. And then the fact that the moon and the sun are the same size in the sky, and you think, what a coincidence. No, I'm telling you, God deserves some honor.
Amen.
He ought to be mentioned in your PBS special on nature. God ought to be mentioned. Even if you're not sure who this God is, you ought to know this God did something amazing here. And I could go on and on about that, but just the beauty in this world. This is an amazing world, and we can't honor God just by, you wake up in the morning, you hear the birds, and you hear the, you walk outside and the green grass and the sun and the, I'm telling you, it ought to inspire you every single day to honor God. Your heart should be lifted up to the God of creation who made all of this. But you know, they look out there and they see that the universe had a beginning. They look and they say, the universe had a beginning. They didn't realize it at first, but wow, all the stars are shooting away from each other. The universe had a building, had a beginning. It's called a Big Bang now. And they say, the universe had a beginning. But they don't come back and say, wow, God is amazing. God was right all along. You know what they say? There must be a multiverse generator. That is pretty pathetic. God deserves some honor. He deserves some honor from you. All right. Let's go one more. Indignity. God has some dignity. Yeah, he deserves some honor. Yeah, but what about the indignity? Did you know that indignity or dishonor to God is pervasive? Man, it's pervasive. Just think about his name. How people dishonor his name. It's all over now. It's all over now. And the internet's making it worse. Where I worked, it was like the most common expletive. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. I got to the point where I would say, he was wounded for your transgressions. They'd say, Jesus Christ. And I'd say, he was wounded for your transgressions. One time the judge said it behind the bench. And I'm sitting there interpreting. And he said, Jesus Christ. He was rebuking a kid. And I said, he was wounded for your transgressions. Amen. And he stopped and said, what? And I said, he was wounded for your transgressions. And the coordinator talked to him later and said, you shouldn't use that word behind the bench. And he came and apologized, said, I shouldn't have used that word behind the bench. He was wounded for your transgressions. Man, how is it possible you would dishonor him like that? Just use his name like junk. Like it's a put down, like it's something filthy. Yeah. Come on. I mean, I don't understand it. It's amazing how they do not honor his works. They disregard his works. They pretend that stuff that only he could do had to have happened by accident. Yeah. That is so dishonoring to him. Every nature program on PBS or on any other show, every single nature program, they refuse, they actually honestly refuse and intentionally try to avoid ever mentioning the glory of God in that. But the Bible says the whole heavens show the handiwork of God. The glory of God is revealed by them. All over the world, his glory is revealed. Don't you recognize his glory? Doesn't he deserve some honor? But look at the dishonor that he gets all the time, all the time. Why do they dishonor his law? His law is amazing. You know, it's the only law out there that protects the rights of the rich. Think about it. Over there in Exodus, it says, you will not countenance a poor man in his cause. That means you will not favor a poor man because he's poor. That means you got to be fair to the rich. That's an amazing law, by the way. God's no communist. Mom Donnie's a communist, but not God. They asked him, they asked that mayor of New York, they said, well, what are you going to do about these billionaires? He says, I don't think we should have any billionaires. Take all their money away. But that's what God said. He says, you don't do that. You never favor a poor man in his cause. Just because he's poor, that ain't a good reason to pretend he's right. But that's exactly the opposite of what we got now in these great United States. Amazing. You know, I'm amazed that they don't honor God. It's amazing how pervasive the dishonor of God is when it comes to Christ's counsel. Just the fact that he's willing to counsel you. The fact that he's willing to give you some advice.
Thank you, Lord.
Like he says, turn the other cheek. Boy, that's some wise advice. But people don't honor that. In fact, they mock it. I'm amazed. Or when Jesus says that divorce for any cause is not right. No fault divorce is not right. Don't you know that's not right? That was Jesus who said that. Jesus said no fault divorce is not right. But you've got people that will criticize that position. Incredibly dishonoring to God. Amazing. And how about his offer of salvation? That Jesus Christ talks about redemption and salvation, and people who are in the midst of a religious fervor cannot accept the idea that God would forgive our sins. They dishonor Jesus when he offers salvation. He offers forgiveness of sins and they don't want it or they don't believe it. They think it's not real, it's not true. It's dishonoring to God. It's like somebody offers you a present and you refuse it. You don't see how that dishonors someone? Somebody offers you a present and you say, no, I don't want a present from you. That would be dishonoring, but people do that all the time. Notice that when people dishonor Jesus Christ, he notices. He noticed. He says, you guys are dishonoring me. And yeah, it's not difficult. They called him a Samaritan. They called him a Samaritan. How dare they? He says, I'm noticing that you're dishonoring me. Now I'm a little different. I'm sort of dull and people insult me and I don't even realize that they insulted me. I just keep on talking and they're like, boy, I gotta be more clear with this guy. He's a little dull. But Jesus noticed. He noticed right away they were insulting him. Let me tell you something else. He's offended. He takes offense. You dishonor Jesus, not only does he notice, but he's offended. He knows he's worthy of honor. He knows he's worthy of your respect. He knows he deserves a little reverence from you. He knows that you should address him in a more formal and consistent way, a way of respect. He knows what he deserves. He knows who he is. He says, I'm not a liar like you. I'm from above. You're from beneath. I ought to get some honor. I notice when you don't honor me, and it offends me when you don't honor me. You might not be aware of it. You think God does not fit the profile of a victim. So you think whatever we do against God, it's like, who cares? But God notices and God is offended. Let me tell you something else. God remembers. Amen. Jesus remembers all the times you've dishonored him. Jesus remembers all the times these people on their radio programs or their TV programs don't honor him, ignore him, disregard him. He notices when they disregard the Bible and toss it aside. He notices and he remembers and he's writing down a book of accounts. That's what the Bible says. He remembers. And a fourth point on that is that it matters. It matters that you disrespect God. It matters when you dishonor Jesus. It matters. It makes a difference. It makes a difference in the lives of your children. I wonder how many people have lost their children because they didn't know how to honor God in their life. My goodness, how many people lose so much? It matters, and it matters in eternity. Things are changing because of your dishonoring of Jesus Christ, and because of our nation's dishonoring of Jesus Christ, and because the world dishonors Jesus Christ. It makes a difference on how people live and the blessings that people receive. It makes a difference. Is it possible that God might not answer your prayers because you dishonor him? He notices, he's offended, he remembers, and it matters. All right, number four. I want you to notice the civility in Jesus. Because when somebody dishonors me, and I notice, because sometimes I don't notice, but when somebody dishonors me, I get riled up. It inflames me. It makes me mad. Like if somebody passes me on the shoulder and cuts in front of me. That's dishonoring. That's disrespectful. I notice, and it makes me mad. I don't ever just back off and say, oh, come on in. I knew you needed to be in front of me. I'm not really in a rush. I got nowhere to be. I'm nobody. That's not my attitude. But they called him a Samaritan and said, you have a devil. And how did he respond? No, you're incorrect. I do not have a devil. And I don't guess he needed to say, I am not a Samaritan. Because that was just a dumb insult. He just reacted civilly. He reacted with some patience. Have you thought about how patient God is with you? Man. The Bible says about Jezebel that Jesus gave her space to repent. I wonder if God's given you a little space. He hears your words. He hears your curses. He hears your disrespect. He hears. He notices. He remembers. It matters. It's all clear to him. But he says, give it another year or two. We'll see if it can bear fruit later on. That's some pretty good treatment. Jesus Christ did not come down on you. Think about it. If he had come down on you for your disrespect, for your dishonor, for your disregard of him, if you had treated him so casually, so dismissively, you treat him like that and he gets mad instantly and burns you to a crisp, how many people do you think would be on this earth? We would be a pretty sparse place. Land prices would plummet. But God says, no, give it a little time.
Thank you, Lord.
Give it a little time. You know what he said to Abraham? He said, everywhere you walked, look around. It's all yours. It's all yours. I'm giving it all to you. But I can't for about 400 years because their iniquity's not quite full. 400 years out of respect for these wicked sinners, he says they're not quite wicked enough yet. You ought to really think about the civility of God, how considerate he is of people like us who dishonor him every day. Man. And then he says this statement almost as a warning. Just going to make it clear to you, I honor my father and you're dishonoring me. That's a warning. And you know, God comes down and says, gives you a warning, says, hey, you know how you're driving along and a little light comes on in your dash that says, low fuel, hey. That's a warning.
Thank you, Lord.
That's what Jesus did with them. He said, hey, you're dishonoring me. You know what that is? It's an opportunity for you to say, oh, wait, I gotta fix something.
Amen.
I gotta fix something. That is a tremendous consideration on Jesus' part.
Amen.
I'm just gonna give you a warning. Because he didn't have to give a warning. They don't have to put that little light in there. They just know we're stupid. They know we're stupid, so they put that little light in there, and sometimes it gets brighter, or I don't know, it does something funny. It starts dinging. It gets down to a certain part, it starts dinging. Bang, 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 bang. Why? You're out of gas! You're out of gas! Wake up! Jesus is warning, you know, God is warning you, he's warning you all the time. Constantly, constantly warning you. And you know something else? He's pleading. The Bible says he's pleading, be ye reconciled with Christ. As if God beseeches you. God's begging you. Man, you ought to think about the civility of God, the tremendous gentlemanliness of God, how he wants to take you and he wants to plead with you and he wants you to get right. My goodness, you've dishonored him and look how he's treating you. You should not wait another day before you make it right with God. Say, God, I need help. I need to be right with you. If you're not saved, you need to get saved. You need to say, God, I'm done dishonoring you. I want to lift you up for the rest of my life.
Amen.
I'm amazed by Jesus Christ. He's amazing. And I want to honor Him.
Amen.
Lord, I ask You to bless this congregation. Anybody here that doesn't know You as Savior,